Blog Talk Radio.
I got something to say to you, boy. Just exactly what you're trying to pull here.
I'm not trying to pull anything.
Well, let me tell you something. You ain't fooling me for a minute. You think I don't see what you are? You're one of those smooth-talking, smart-ass niggas just out for all you can get with your black power and all that other troublemaking nonsense. And as long as you are anywhere around this house, I'm right here watching. You read me, boy? You bring any trouble in here and you just like to find out what black power really means.
Television's a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity and all the...
Harry, I'm a little man. It's quite a snow. And everywhere that Harry went, the
man
was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah!
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Where's the runway?
I have one thing to say. Dashé, Shanté, 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 Shanté.
Oh, ho, ho. The homosexuals have won! Not. They haven't won. Stop cheering. Knock it off with the twit. I don't want to see Twitter accounts going befuddled or going off. He supports gay marriage. I don't want to hear it or see it. Because there is an underlying factor here. There is something that's undertone, and I will get into it, and I am going to rip apart. Not just homosexuals today. Call your friends, damn it. But I am not just going to rip the homosexuals today. I am going to rip the Negroes as well. Because you will play a factor in all this. You do. You do. We'll get into all of that. So, unless you've been living under a rock because everybody's reporting this, I'm surprised it didn't show up on ESPN, for crying out loud, or the Food Network, or Home and Garden Television, or the DIY Network. But President Obama, after years, and I mean years, over a decade, 1996, 97 was the first time he talked about gay marriage, has finally evolved, as he says. Didn't know where to go. Apparently in 97, for it. Then in 2004, when he was running for the Senate seat against Alan Keyes, he was against it. In 2008, he was asked, define marriage, says, emphatically, it's between a man and a woman based upon his faith. His faith. And it came up again, I'm evolving on the issue. And then it went from evolving to just caving today. Now, you can believe whatever it is you want as far as the reasons for him caving. But there is only one reason. And we'll explain that today. The bottom line is that Obama's a fraud. He is. He's a fraud.
Well, you know, as much as I like to defend him, he did pull a fast one.
Yes, he did. Obama is a fraud.
He pulled a fast one.
That's right. He is a fraud. You remember these. Now, this is what led to today's confessional, if you will. This report a few days ago.
President Obama does not support gay marriage. And while his stand has been and remains an issue, it is a bigger issue now that Vice President Biden chose yesterday morning's broadcast of Meet the Press to voice his support of the issue. Then on MSNBC this morning, the president's education secretary did the same thing. And suddenly, the White House spent the day knocking down an issue they were not planning to knock down today. Our chief White House correspondent, Chuck Todd, is with us with more on this. Chuck, good evening.
Well, good evening, Brian. Well, as you pointed out, today was supposed to be a continuation of the president's campaign kickoff for a second term. They've even debuted a TV ad that's reminiscent of Ronald Reagan's famous It's Morning in America. But it's that comment by the vice president on gay marriage that caught both the White House and the president's campaign a bit flat-footed.
I am Vice President of the United States of America.
It all started with Vice President Joe Biden on Meet the Press.
I am absolutely comfortable with the fact that men marrying men, women marrying women, and heterosexual men and women marrying men are entitled to the same exact rights, all the civil liberties. And quite frankly, I don't see much of a distinction.
Biden was more definitive than the president had been 18 months ago when Mr. Obama had last addressed the issue substantively.
My feelings about this are constantly evolving. I struggle with this. I have friends. I have people who work for me who are in powerful, strong, long-lasting gay or lesbian unions. I personally am going to continue to wrestle with going forward.
The apparent split sent aides of both men scrambling to clarify. Biden's office put out a statement minutes after Meet the Press aired, simply stating what the president had said previously, that same-sex couples should not be denied rights, adding, beyond that, the vice president was expressing that he, too, is evolving on the issue after meeting so many committed couples and families in this country. Then this morning on Morning Joe on MSNBC, Education Secretary Arne Duncan was asked whether he supports gay marriage.
Yes, I do. Okay, so
have you ever said that publicly before?
I don't know if I've ever been asked publicly.
Hours later, White House Press Secretary Jay Carney faced repeated questions about the president's position. All Carney would say is that the president is against a proposal on the North Carolina ballot tomorrow, which would make gay marriage and civil unions unconstitutional in that state.
So help me out. He opposes bans on gay marriage, but he doesn't yet support gay marriage.
The record is clear that the president has long opposed divisive and discriminatory efforts to deny rights and benefits to same-sex couples. That is a position he has taken that precedes his taking a position in North Carolina. It's a position he's taken in other states where this has been an issue.
You know, we should point out, Brian, that the country is, if you will, evolving on this issue, to borrow a phrase from the president. You know, in 2009, when we polled on this issue on same-sex marriage, nearly 50% said they were opposed to it. Only 41% supported it. Well, if you recall, remember just a couple of months ago in March, we asked again. 49% said they supported gay marriage, just 40% opposed. So you see that shift in public opinion, Brian.
All right, Chuck Todd from the White House North Lawn tonight. Chuck, thanks.
So that's what started it all. That whole, and you have to see it. You can look it up online. Jay Carney goes through 15 minutes of a barrage of questions. Just come out with it, Jay. Does he support gay marriage or not? What does this evolving crap mean? Come on. And Jay Carney was just stoked. And they hate Joe Biden right now. They hate him. Because if it wasn't for Joe Biden, it wouldn't be an issue. And this is not a real campaign issue. Some people disagree. Others agree on the gay marriage issue. Yes, they believe there should be gay marriage. Other people don't agree. Okay? So it doesn't matter. All right? They're going, it's a polarizing issue, and that's fine. But the bottom line was, whether or not President Obama was going to be the first president in American history who was going to support gay marriage. That's why it gained so much attention. And he was dodging it. And he could be on the fence about it. He could say all day long, yeah, I'm evolving. I really don't have an opinion. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Even though he had openly admitted marriages between a man and a woman. So they dragged Robin Roberts out of New York and brought her down to the White House. I'm peculiar about why it is they sent Robin Roberts. I'm assuming because she's a black woman and is allegedly gay. By the way, JC, find out if there's any confirmation on that. Look it up on Wikipedia or something, if Robin Roberts is openly gay. I believe she is. But I'm just looking at her based on her haircut. That's just me. She could or she couldn't be. I know she's not married. She played basketball, worked at ESPN, heavily involved in sports. Screams lesbian to me. That's just me. Not that it matters. But I think that was a little, you know, put together, if you get my meaning. So today he has an interview with Robin Roberts.
Now, what was his name?
Her name, Robin Roberts, from Good Morning America.
Oh, okay, hold on.
Anyway, so here's a part of that interview he has with Robin Roberts where he pretty much just says he supports gay marriage.
No longer defending the Defense Against Marriage Act, which tried to federalize what has historically been state law. I've stood on the side of broader equality for the LGBT community. And I had hesitated on gay marriage, in part because I thought civil unions would be sufficient, that was something that would give people hospital visitation rights and other elements that we take for granted. I was sensitive to the fact that for a lot of people, you know, the word marriage was something that evokes very powerful traditions, religious beliefs, and so forth. But I have to tell you that over the course of several years, as I talk to friends and family and neighbors, when I think about members of my own staff who are incredibly committed monogamous relationships, same-sex relationships, who are raising kids together, when I think about those soldiers or airmen or Marines or sailors who are out there fighting on my behalf, and yet feel constrained, even now that Don't Ask, Don't Tell is gone, because they're not able to commit themselves in a marriage. At a certain point, I've just concluded that for me personally, it is important for me to go ahead and affirm that I think same-sex couples should be able to get married.
And it took him a goddamn 1 minute and 46 seconds to say it. Now, we'll get into that whole thing about gay people in the military fighting for him on his behalf. That's another topic on your behalf. They fight on the nation's behalf, there, bonehead. They fight on our behalf, not your behalf. But if you listen to what he says, Barack Obama is only saying that he was browbeaten into supporting gay marriage. He doesn't speak of himself. He doesn't talk about how he came to this evolution. He just talks about other people browbeating him into this decision. All it is people telling him, oh, you know, I've spoken to many people who are in committed, powerful relationships. And, you know, I used to believe in civil unions where, you know, they, you know, get hospital visits and things we take for granted. Who the hell are you to say what people take for granted? Who the hell are you? How do you know that married couples take their vows to one another for granted? Who are you to broadstroke that? That's pretty pompous on the president's part, don't you think? To say things we usually take for granted, who the hell are you? But pretty much he was browbeaten. And of course, and I'm not going to play the audio because I just wanted that part where he fought. It took him a minute and 46 seconds to finally admit to the fact that he supports gay marriage. But then he starts invoking his daughters, Sasha Malia, Sasha Malia, Sasha Malia. Yeah, we get it. people like them better than they like you. And if you throw them into the mix, they all get to say, oh, they convinced their daddy. Look how wise they are. So wise for their youth. Sasha and Malia have friends who have two mommies and two daddies. And I looked at them and they thought that was normal. And I was thinking if my two daughters could think that way, maybe that I should come out of my Neanderthal ways. Well, my question is, what happened to this guy? What happened to this guy?
You said that your religious faith dictates that marriage should be between a man and a woman. Would you elaborate on that?
Well, what I believe is that marriage is between a man and a woman. But what I also believe is that we have an obligation to make sure that gays and lesbians have the rights of citizenship that afford them visitations to hospitals, that allow them to be to transfer property between partners, to make certain that they're not discriminated on the job. I think that bundle of rights are absolutely critical.
But as far as why, what in your religious faith calls you to be against gay marriage?
What I believe in my faith is that a man and a woman, when they get married, are performing something before God, and it's not simply the two persons who are meeting. But that doesn't mean that that necessarily translates into a position on public policy or with respect to civil unions. What it does mean is that we have a set of traditions in place that I think need to be preserved, but I also think that we have to make sure that gays and lesbians have the same set of basic rights that are in place. And I was glad to see, for example, that the president today apparently stated that he was in favor of civil unions. This may be a reversal of his position, but I think it's a healthy one. I think on this, President Bush and I disagree apparently with Mr. Keyes on this, because I think that that kind of basic ethic of regard towards all people, regardless of sexual orientation, is a valuable thing.
Let me interrupt and ask you a very quick follow-up question. Do you believe homosexuality is a choice?
No, I don't.
You think it's innate?
I think that for the most part it is innate. I think that obviously it may vary in certain circumstances, but I think that it is something that is a part of their identity. Now,
Obama, that being the case, if something is not a choice, if something is innate, then why isn't it a civil right? And why isn't your support of civil unions as opposed to marriage, does that amount to separate but equal?
No, I think there are a whole host of things that are civil rights. And then there are other things, such as traditional marriage, that I think express a community's concern and regard for a particular institution.
So marriage is not a civil right as far as you're concerned?
I don't think marriage is a civil right, but I think that I think that being able to transfer property is a civil right. I think not being able to not being discriminated against is a civil right. I think making sure that we don't engage in the sort of gay bashing that I think has unfortunately dominated this campaign, not just here in Illinois but across the country, I think is unfortunate, and I think that that kind of mean-spirited attacks on homosexuals is something that the people of Illinois generally have rejected.
Mr. Keyes, on the Channel 7 debate last...
Okay, so, there you heard it. He said he didn't think gay marriage was a civil right. He said gay rights were a civil right. Said he was ardently against it because of religion. He was a Christian. His faith tells him so. What he believes... Toss that right out of window. No principle. None. None whatsoever. Just toss it right out the window, as far as Obama's concerned. So now he supports gay marriage. Now he is a supporter of gay marriage. Why, do you ask, is he a supporter of gay marriage? Well, let's look at the numbers. The truth be told, African Americans in this country are the only ones in this country. Oh, sorry, they're not the only ones. I apologize. Let me rephrase that. Latinos as well. blacks and Latinos are the only ones who have not, quote-unquote, evolved on this issue. African Americans, 39 million in all in this country, 21.4 million of them are against gay marriage. It's 55%. 21.45, to be exact, are against gay marriage. Latinos, the numbers are even greater. In fact, most people are saying that Latino churchgoers are being told by their pastors and their priests that homosexuality is not only a sin, but it's just straight up evil. And Latinos want no part of that. I don't need to tell you about Latinos, and I'm not being stereotypical here, but you know, there's an inherent machismo there. It's very macho. They love their women love them. They're not down with the fruity-tooty thing. They're not. They're just not. It's a very strong basis of the Latino community.
I disagree with you.
No, there may be some gay... There's some homosexual Latinos out there. But the Latino community? Come on.
By and large.
By and large? Come on. The whole Latin lover thing?
By and large, I think they're more down low than African Americans.
Even if they are. But I'm just saying that even if they are on the down low more than African Americans, probably because they outnumber us 2-1, the bottom line is that as far as their politics go, in the wide open, they're a very heterosexual couple. I mean, a group. Very heterosexual group.
Well, they're a sexual group overall, period.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So what they do, what they may do in their private lives, it is private lives. Everybody's got private lives. They get a little freaky deaky on, take a finger in places they don't belong.
Well, don't be hypocritical about it then, you know what I mean? I mean, that for them to be against it, they're extremely hypocritical.
But that's okay. See, the bottom line is that's okay. Because
well,
you know
what? Okay.
I'll tell you why it's okay. Because people like Nancy Pelosi can say all day that she's a Catholic, but she supports abortion, which she knows is a complete contrast to Catholicism. Okay? She talks about that all day. Oh, there are plenty of people in the Catholic Church who get abortions. That has nothing to do with the facts that the tenets of Catholicism is against aborting a child.
See, I kind of love this argument, and it's not that I'm defending the gay community, but it's like I feel like this. North Carolina had a damn nerve.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they did.
How do you say they have
any
a damn
of these
nerve?
States? And I can tell you 11 of them. That have already turned down civil unions and gay marriages got a damn nerve when they have laws in the books where they can marry their first cousins.
So what? I know
what
everyone.
Do you mean,
talked,
so what?
Everyone talked about that today. I heard saw a lot of people talking
You've
about.
You've got to be kidding me! And exceptions to where they can marry siblings.
Yes, and I don't
exceptions
know
exceptions to the court.
I don't know who the popular person on Facebook who wrote. George Takei, famous homosexual from Star Trek.
But you know, it's funny.
He put out that post today on Facebook.
No. Well, I was talking about this last night because I was debating with a friend of mine down in Charlotte, where I'm going to be moving and hopefully in a couple of months.
Uh-huh.
And he's from Charlotte, and he's bragging about it, and So I started looking at them. I stumbled on that information myself. And this
what,
was yesterday.
That you could marry your cousin in the state of North Carolina, but they voted against gay marriage?
Dude, you can marry your first cousin in the state of Connecticut.
Okay, I understand that, but the bottom line is that, first of all, they've been doing that in England for eons. If I remember correctly, Princess Diana was Prince Charles's 7th cousin.
Good enough.
Okay,
Victoria,
I mean,
Victoria
their bloodline is somewhat similar.
Queen Victoria married her first cousin.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know, I mean, My thing is, we have enough people on this planet. Our species is not going to get wiped out.
But see, you don't have to like. See, this is what people don't understand about the North Carolina law, and we'll get into that later. But here's what it is that people don't like, because I'm going to get back on track before I go to a break. Here's the thing that people don't understand about the California law. About the North Carolina law as it was in California. You know, you can't be upset when you ask everybody, look, let's do this in a democratic way. Vote on whether or not we should have gay marriage. The people in that state voted 65 to 35 against it. And that's it. So they said, look, you lost. You were outnumbered. There weren't enough people who wanted to support it. You lost. Take the L and keep it moving. But instead of doing that, they start screaming and hollering, I hope you freaking die, to some politicians. People are out there screaming about how they're going to riot. You lost. If people don't agree with you, you have to put an H on your chest and handle it. When you don't agree with somebody, you don't tell someone to shut you up. You would never ever stand for it. So you lost. That's it. Take the L, put an H on your chest, and keep it moving. It's that simple.
Well,
they lost. Just like they did in California. Proposition 8, they lost. And what did they do? They got a gay judge in the 9th district in San Francisco to overturn a freaking vote by the citizens. And said, you know what? I don't think you're qualified to vote on this proposal. That's ridiculous. You didn't vote my way, so now I'm going to take the position as the judge and jury on this, and going to say, oh yeah, I know you voted against it, but it doesn't meet the tenets of what it is that I believe, so I'm striking down the vote. It's a joke.
Well, you wait till the gay civil war come. I'm taking the high road.
Trust me, they're outnumbered. Bottom line is, 30 states have already voted it down, and that's more than half the country.
They're ruling and running this country as it is.
Hey, look, the middle America counts, and people don't think that they do, but they count. They have to get used to it. Well, let me get back to my point. We'll take a break. Because when we come back, Torre, you know, my favorite man, Torre, he wrote an article today in Time Magazine called, okay, but he wrote an article today talking about, how black people are going to react to President Obama's coming out for gay marriage and whether or not it will affect the black vote. When we come back, I'll explain to you why it is that Barack Obama made the decision to come out today, and how he was held hostage. Whether you like it or not, people, you are going to learn. Barack Obama was held hostage today. Or this past week, he was held hostage, and he gave in to hostage taking.
You know what? I've got an interesting theory myself. I can't wait to get back to this one.
I have proof. When we come back, we'll take a break. I have proof that he gave in to hostage takers today, and he did not care what the African American vote was because the hostage takers had one up on him that he could not refuse. And I'll explain how Barack Obama, while every other African-American out there is voting for him and standing by him because of the color of his skin, how he betrayed you, how he betrayed African-Americans and their ideology.
Hostage?
Yes, how he betrayed the African-American loyalty. Mm-hmm. Even though 5%, I'm telling you, when I explain it to you, you're going to be baffled. When I return.
Mm-hmm.
Stick around. It's Reese on the Radio. We'll be back in about 5 minutes right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the 5 states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies. Policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions. not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward, and the state of our union is strong.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours. A great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
What is a boy to do?
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
Let me say this loud and clear. Congratulations to John Lovitz.
You know, I said that I was going to hate this guy if he backed down, if he was bullied into reversing, and he did not. So I applaud you. John Lovitz, you know, I liked you from Big. I liked you in, I liked you in The Wedding Singer. I like the bit parts you do. I've just recently watched you in A League of Their Own, which I thought you were hilarious in. Even when I watched it 20 years ago in 1992. So I've got a crazy amount of respect for you. As a liberal, even, I got a lot of respect for you.
You know what I want to add to that?
Go ahead.
I think it's very interesting, John Lovitz, and I give him a lot of credit, too. I've enjoyed him in his movies and so on and so forth. But, you know, I got to give this man credit because he's bringing politics and socialism
to the forefront.
And hold on, in a layman's term kind of way so that folks who don't follow politics can understand.
Right. It was a very, very common man approach. And it was kind of an angry man approach as well as somebody who's starting a business and somebody like him who has been in movies and, you know, not that he's filthy rich, but he's wealthy. He knows that. But he's never come off as some sort of rich snob. He's come off as a regular guy, and he's just being honest. So
it's a term that I like to call son of a sanitation man. A sensibility.
Right, exactly. Okay, so now let me get to this point that I promised that I would bring up before the break. Don't be shocked, because everyone should know this. As I said in the last break, Barack Obama has no principles. The president has none whatsoever. As I just played you in a debate that he had with Dr. Alan Keyes in 2004, when he was running for Illinois Senate, he flat out said that he does not believe that gay marriage is a civil right, and he said that his definition of marriage is between a man and a woman. And yes, he gave all those platitudes about them receiving the same rights, the transfer of property. Yeah, I agree with that too. If you're in a committed relationship and you're in a civil union, I'm there with you. Marriage off limits. The word marriage, you can't have it. Can't make a church do it. We're not going to take away the tenets of Catholicism so that we can, you know, we can subject ourselves to the small few who are demanding what it is they want. It's hostage taking at its best. And that's exactly what happened to Barack Obama. He has been co-opted by the gay lobby. Now, you think about this. The African-American community, 55%, that comes to a number of 21.45 million African-Americans, are against gay marriage. For the first black president who they've hitched their wagon to, a large degree because of his color, to hear him come out and support gay marriage, most people would think, hey, wouldn't he lose that 21.45 million? Of course not. We're not going there. Are you crazy? Right now, in order to make sure that Barack Obama was reelected, Jay-Z and Kanye West would kiss each other on camera. Okay? They are committed to their relationship with Barack Obama. Every misogynist rapper today would flat out go on a date with their rival rapper and do a song with him and make out in the video if it would get Barack Obama reelected. And put out any amount of money out there, the misogyny in hip-hop today would completely be thrown out the window. Barack Obama would sit there and say, hey, listen, I need your support for the LGBT community. I need you to put out some I Love Homosexual rap right now. Jay-Z, do one with Jennifer Lopez. Get a song out there real quick. I love gays. Do something for me. And they would do it.
Those would basically be stepping out of their closets.
Well, yeah, that's fine. But they would do it.
Of course.
So I'm not worried about the 21.45 million African Americans who don't agree with gay marriage. He doesn't care either. Do you want to know why? Because the gay lobby held Barack Obama hostage with one thing that he has to have: their money. In fact, it was reported today that members of the LGBT community were holding off donating any more money to the Obama campaign until he settled the score and came out and said whether or not he was for or against gay marriage. And they held his feet to the fire. Go to Drudge Report right now, and you'll see the article, which is sitting right there on the top right-hand corner. I'll look at it now. Right under the word evolution in the right-hand corner. Below evolution, Obama now backs gay marriage. Right underneath it, it says, raises $1 million in 90 minutes. And guess what the Negroes don't do? They don't donate. They donate about as well as they tip. And he's already got you in your pocket, so he doesn't have to follow you. He doesn't have to follow your tenets. He doesn't have to follow what you believe in. You're going to vote for him anyway. Even Van Jones said that. Van Jones was on this week with George Stephanopoulos. Look it up. Van Jones, former greenhouse czar, Van Jones, former green jobs czar in the White House, was on Meet the Press was on This Week with George Stephanopoulos about 2 weeks ago, and he said, this is a Washington White House insider, who said the black community, if Obama came out and said he was gay, blacks would still support him. He said it. And you know it's true. Blacks would tell you all day, no, I ain't with no homosexuality, man. I ain't with that. Barack Obama says he supports gay marriage. But there ain't nothing wrong with it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, they good people. You know what I'm saying? I got no problem with them. And then that's what they'll say in public. They'll go behind the scenes and they'll call them all the F words and the H words. They do that all day. Then I gotta come flat out and say, if Barack Obama supports it, we support it too. Barack Obama said, throw your baby away. You know what? I'm getting sick and tired of this kid too. Where can I send him, Obama? They'll just go for anything. Yeah, that's right. Collect that check. Bottom line is...
For
tours. That's right, for the tours. We'll get into that. Bottom line is... Barack Obama doesn't need you, Negroes. He only needs you on election day. He knows you're not going to chip in and donate any money. How many of you Negroes have donated? Huh? Which one of you are sending in a donation to get a shout-out tweet for your mama on Sunday? Anybody? Anybody? Which one of you are handing over $3 or more so you can have dinner with George Clooney? Anybody? Anybody?
That's all it costs is $3?
Yeah, $3 or more.
$3 or more for what?
For that's a half a ticket for fried rice.
I don't see anybody. I don't see anybody in the black community. I don't see him doing anything to raise black people's awareness or contributions into his campaign. Not one thing. Just go to your website, African Americans for Barack Obama. Join leadership groups with your church and go out there and vote.
And you know what? I was prepared to tell you that you were dead wrong. Remember I told you I had an interesting spin on this?
Yeah, but...
I was prepared to tell you that you were dead wrong, but you know what? You're dead right. You know what the one thing that I think everybody is missing so far?
What's that?
He just pulled the wool over the entire gay mafia.
Of course he did.
And you know why? Find me a state where civil unions are legal and see where politics played a role. That was determined in the courts.
Exactly. And here's the worst part, is that he went so far. See, this is the thing that everybody's talking about. They love the fact that Barack Obama says that he supports gay marriage. But they're missing the part in the interview, and you can watch it on Nightline tonight, or you can watch it on ABC.com, where he clearly says that it's a state's issue.
And it's always been determined in the courts.
That's right.
Not in politics.
Right, exactly. So Barack Obama is just giving you the little nudge. I wish that you guys could have gay marriage. So just know that when you go out there, you tell everybody the president supports you. It just rallies the troops.
He's pimping.
That's all it is, exactly. That's exactly what he's doing. Hey,
he just pimped
black. You want to sell some Oreos, right? I want to sell Oreos, okay? I want people to buy Oreos. Hey, do me a favor. Listen, this weekend, could you be seen dipping an Oreo into some milk? And then everybody say, the president was today doing something we've done since we were children, dipping an Oreo into a glass of milk. And everybody sits around and goes, oh, yeah, I love Oreos too. Well, Barack Obama likes Oreos. I like Oreos too. That's all they get. They get a cheerleader for them.
Newsflash, I like Hydrox.
I don't even eat cookies anymore.
Well, Hydrox are way better than Oreos.
Don't you understand that this whole gay marriage thing, all it got was a celebrity endorsement? That's all it got!
And some money.
Well, no. That's all that. No. They lost money because now they're donating. They're out of money. Bottom line is they're going to contribute now. But it didn't cost them anything. It didn't cost them anything. It gained him things. It gained him, one, the news coverage, and two, it gained him donations. But all they had to do, I mean, right now, all they have, at least for the next 6 months, is the biggest gay cheerleader.
All right.
And of course they're going to be happy about it. Of course media is going to be happy about it. Even the President of the United States is for gay marriage. But you heard what Brian Williams said when he started that piece that he ran on Monday? President Obama is against gay marriage. Not anymore. Because it was politically convenient for him. And when you've been touting for the past, what? Want to say 8-9 months? That you're going to have a $1 billion war chest and you're far short from it? And you know that Romney's backers are going to be pouring in money like there's no tomorrow in the tune of the Koch brothers and other corporate sponsorship in super PACs. That's political action committees, for those who don't know what that means. But those PACs are going to be spending millions and millions and millions of dollars to get rid of him. He needs every dime he can get. And with the turnout at Ohio State just a couple of days ago, we had 4,000 empty seats at a college arena. And this is the man who filled up Infesco Field, which houses, what, 70, 80,000 people, filled it up to the rafters. And now he can't fill a college stadium? A college basketball stadium? He's desperate. Right now, he'll support anybody or anything that's going to garner him a donation. Don't
Can we get a donation?
It's bogus. That's the part that I don't seem to understand. By these African Americans out there who support him, they don't even see that the man has no principle, which would lead me to believe neither does the black voter.
Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype.
That's my favorite part of the song.
You would. I listened to that and I said, wait a minute, that was kind of weird. But you would like it.
You can't believe the hype with this guy.
He pulled the wool over one of the most intelligent mafias on the planet.
Exactly. But they don't care about that. Remember, the ideology of the gay community, and we'll talk about this when we come back. The ideology of the gay community, for them, it's more than just political savvy.
No, it's acknowledges loudly.
Yes, what they want, exactly, what they want. They don't want leadership. They don't want any of that stuff. What they want to do is take down their opposition. And what they want to do is score political points or score social points. The idea of them scoring these points, or I guess the way that they wish to score these points, are to get people to back them and let them be like the most popular names in there. When Angelina Jolie, this is the part that made me laugh, right? Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt said maybe a year or so ago that the reason why they're not getting married is that they're not going to get married until everyone can be married. And then what happened just a month ago? They got engaged. Because somebody said, hey, you know what? We can't wait all day. So even they turned on their promise. No one
Hollywood's
bothered.
Tired of them.
But I'm going to understand that. But no one's even bothered. Of course Hollywood's tired of them. But what do you think? Why do you think they got engaged? Because people were starting to negatively talk about Brad and Angelina.
I mean, how many times can you pick a fight with John Voight? You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. So it wasn't even savvy enough for them to stand this ground. The subject was over with. They were out of the lexicon. They were not being talked about. And so now they're announced this engagement. Then people tried to say, oh, the kids wanted to be in a happy home, in a committed relationship or a committed family that was married. But nobody who reported the story said, hey, Angelina, Brad, I thought you guys said that, you know, you were taking a stance. You weren't going to get married until everybody could be married. No one even bothered to ask them. And they knew that. They knew nobody was going to bring it up or hold their feet to the fire. So the gay community, they don't really care about that.
They got the initial statement out there first.
Exactly. They got the initial statement, which is what they want, to bolster what it is that they believe. And the rest of you, if you don't get it, and these cool people, these evolved people, to borrow Barack Obama's term, these evolved people, they're smarter than you. They get it. You're a Neanderthal. You're a homophobe. You're a racist. If you want to ask anybody, go out there and ask Al Sharpton whether or not he supports gay marriage. How many gay people are on his staff over at the National Action Network?
Don't ask, don't tell. I'm sure there's a few.
Oh,
but they're not telling.
He's pathetic. So he sold you out for money. That's exactly who he is. So, as this story is going to go on for a couple of days, I implore you.
Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype.
Fabulous. Just fabulous.
That's my favorite. All right, we'll take a break. It's Reese on the Radio. We'll be back.
We will not take a dime from Washington lobbyists or special interest facts. They will not fund my party. They will not run our White House. We're going to change how Washington works.
This headline in today's New York Times sure seems at odds with that promise to put Washington on the side of the little guy, not the lobbyists.
A rather long list of names of people who are working on Obama's transition team or who have accepted jobs in his White House.
I'm in this race to tell the lobbyists in Washington that their days of setting the agenda are over. They will not work in my White House.
The administration has hired several lobbyists, the president of a lobbying firm that worked for General Motors and Fannie Mae.
Sally Sussman leads Pfizer's powerful lobbying shop. She's organized events for the president, and she's also donated money for the president and bundled for him.
Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner appointed former top lobbyist for Goldman Sachs as his chief of staff, appointing to the number two position at the Defense Department a former top lobbyist.
Hundreds of meetings between Obama administration officials and lobbyists, and no official record of who.
The number of fundraisers for the president have also benefited hugely from the energy loan program.
Isn't the president opening himself up to just a charge of hypocrisy on this?
Just a litany of people who have raised so much money who are clearly lobbyists.
President Obama hasn't even made a token effort to keep his campaign promises of more openness and transparency. It was all just another lie that was told in order to get elected.
The Republican National Committee.
Today does mark the beginning of the end.
The most sweeping economic recovery package in history. The package is the right size, it is the right scope, it has the right priorities to create 3 to 4 million jobs. The federal government is the only entity left with the resources to jolt our economy back into life. 3.5 million jobs over the next 2 years.
Look at me, the stimulus is working.
Meaning 8 out of every 10 stimulus dollars for wind power have gone to foreign companies.
Not even a good junk bond.
Unemployment is still very high.
It appears that 1.2 million people dropped out of the labor force in 1 month.
Well, I'm not going to say the recession is over until the unemployment rate is down to normal levels, certainly in the 5% range.
It knew the cars would be assembled in
Finland. The FBI raided bankrupt
Sandra. Jobs in China.
$700,000 to create joke-telling software.
I didn't overpromise.
Shovel Ready was not as shovel ready as we expected.
The Republican National Committee is responsible for the content of this advertising.
It's Reese on the radio. We're back. I just saw this article in Gawker, and I'm reading it for the first time, so bear with me because there is some language. Gawker, I guess, has a civil rights column, and the headline reads, and I'm paraphrasing the term that they use, but the headline reads, Barack Obama's bullspit gay marriage announcement. ABC News has only released one brief clip of Obama's conversation about gay marriage today, but it seems fairly clear from the network's coverage of this announcement amounts to much less than meets the eye. He now believes that gay couples should be able to marry. He doesn't believe they have a right to do so. This is like saying that black children and white children ought to attend the same schools, but if the people of Alabama reject that notion, what are you going to do? The key language in the ABC News write-up is this. The president stressed that this is a personal position and that he still supports the concept of states deciding the issue on their own. On this afternoon's special broadcast, Jake Tapper echoed that point. The president said he thought this was a state-by-state issue. Well, before Roe v. Wade, abortion was a state-by-state issue too. So was slavery. There are 44 states in which gay men and women are currently barred from marrying one another. Obama's position is that while he would have voted the other way, those 44 states are perfectly within their rights to arbitrarily restrict the access of certain individuals to marriage rights based solely on their sexual orientation. This is a half-assed, cowardly cop-out. There are currently at least 3 cases winding their way toward federal courts that address the issue of whether, among other things, the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution guarantees gay men and women the same access to marriage rights as heterosexual men and women. The Proposition 8 case, in which David Boies and Ted Olson challenged California's ban on gay marriage, and several challenges of the Defense of Marriage Act, which bars gay men and women from receiving federal marriage benefits and allowed states to refuse to recognize valid gay marriages, Obama's Justice Department has admirably declined to defend the Constitution of DOMA. That's a Defense of Marriage Act, by the way. But the position he enunciated today is in opposition to Boies and Olson. Obama is saying that if he were a judge, he would have rejected Boies and Olson's Constitution arguments and affirmed the right of California to enshrine bigotry in their Constitution. This is all what I've told you already. It's the top of the hour. We'll go into more on this when we return. Just stick around. It's Reese on the Radio. I knew somebody was going to call them on this. It's just the way it goes. I'm so glad that Gawker, which is extremely liberal, did it. We'll be back.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity and all the...
Mary had a little lamb, it was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah!
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we are back, top of the hour, 1 minute after the hour. On blogtalkradio.com, it is May the 9th, 2012. Hump Day, Wacky Wednesday. Okay, here's that report. In 1996, favored same-sex marriage. 1998, undecided. 2004, 2008, opposed. And now in 2012, Obama supports gay marriage. So as I said, he's been flip-flopping on this for a while. Now Gawker is calling his claim to now, and that's Gawker.com, is saying now that Barack Obama gave a bull spit, and I'm sure you can figure out what I mean, announcement on gay marriage.
You just say bull sugar honey iced tea?
Because I like bull spit. That's what I've always been using. Anyway, to continue on that article, it says equality is not a state-by-state issue. Now, this is where I'm telling you right now, and I said this before we went to break, Gawker is an extremely liberal site. Listen to what they say here. Equality is not a state-by-state issue. There is no reason other than ignorance and hatred that two men can get married in New York and not in North Carolina. At a time when vindictive hucksters are rolling out anti-gay marriage amendments across the nation and when conflicting state and federal laws pretend an insoluble morass of divorce, custody, and estate issues, and when gay Americans are turning the U.S. Constitution and the courts to seek an affirmation of their humanity, it is a state-by-state issue, is a shameful dodge. So in essence, they're just saying that he dodged. I'm well aware of that. Anyway, is it a politically wise dodge? Now you made me self-conscious about my reading. You know that, Mary, right?
Do you want me to read
it? No, I'm reading it. It is a politically wise dodge. Is it a politically wise dodge? Maybe. This was obviously a hastily arranged interview. We're told that ABC News' Robin Roberts, who is close to Michelle Obama, was only tapped in the last 48 hours by the White House to come down, designed to clean up the mess that Biden's pro-gay marriage comments in as advantageous way as possible. And for Obama to declare that he considers North Carolina and other states' bans on gay marriage to be unconstitutional would probably energize the GOP base. But those bans are unconstitutional. It's actually not. And anyone who supports their legitimacy, as Obama just did, is in no uncertain terms even if they oppose the policy, is adopting the retrograde position in the contemporary gay marriage debate. Obama is moving backward, not forward.
Since when do we choose our government like we choose our furniture? Contemporary or modern?
Well, again, but this is a leftist position. They don't care that people are opposed to it. It's either you side with us or you're, as they put it, bigoted, hateful, prejudiced. There's no other way
or
that you can be.
Contemporary. Contemporary
yeah, yeah.
is like old, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, contemporary is new.
What? Modern is new.
Well, modern is new. I'm sorry. Contemporary, right. So bottom line is that traditions mean nothing.
Yeah, because they want modern. They're done with contemporary.
Well, that's their business. You can live any life you want to live. But look, you're not going to get marriage. And that's the whole thing. Like, these people don't even acknowledge that what they're going after is the institution of marriage through the church. That's who they've got the issue with. And to them, they view the church as the old boys club, a hierarchy that they not only condemn, but they consider evil. How dare they tell the rest of us how to morally live? And that morality must be challenged. You can't be.
But that's why there's choice in religion in this country.
Right.
Choose whatever religion you want.
But again,
make up a religion. If you want,
you can
make up a religion, create your own churches, and go get married in them churches.
Exactly, but it won't be acknowledged. See, but then they say it won't be acknowledged by the courts. Well, if you want,
but a civil union is acknowledged by the courts.
No, not in all of them.
No, not in all states.
Well, I would say, look, the bottom line is that
if you want a civil union, you can have a civil union, but you're not going into a Catholic church or into a freaking mosque and getting married to anybody that is the same sex. It ain't gonna happen.
And that's another thing, and you're absolutely right. You
and
don't
if it
hear
does, you're gonna destroy religion because no one will have faith in their religion ever again.
I've asked this question before and I said it and I'll say it again. Have you ever seen gay groups from the Muslim community challenging the sanctity of marriage or Catholicism?
You have never even seen a gay group of the Muslim community, no less seen them challenge
that's what I'm saying. Kidding me? So they would never.
They would be stoned to death.
That, exactly. You'll never, and you won't see this gay community challenge Sharia law. These same gay people, this is the part that makes me laugh. The gay people that you see who are rallying and people like this Gawker reporter, those same people who are rallying and who are screaming for equality are the same people you'd see downtown protesting that they opened that Ground Zero mosque, even though that members of that mosque believe in Sharia law where women have no rights. You know, that if a woman is raped, she needs 5 male witnesses. They would never challenge those at all. But yet they're sitting up there talking, screaming equality. Equality for everyone. So even if they stone their women, if they're walking with another man, well, that's their right. I don't think it's right,
that's
though.
Their
that's their religion. Then you're respecting their religion. And it's hypocrisy. Exactly.
It's not their religion.
What are you talking about?
It's not in the Quran that you have to have 5 witnesses to a woman getting raped. That's something that those Muslim people made up.
Read the Quran.
I've read the Quran.
Really? You read it? You read that part? How much you want to bet on that one?
I want you to show me.
Oh, I will be glad to show it to you. She must have witnesses. They must bear witness. Woman is worse than a second-class citizen under Sharia law. But again, remember what Sharia law is. Sharia law isn't like we have separation of church and state, or at least a lot of people like to believe that. Their laws are based on the Quran. The Quran and their law is one and the same. So nobody made it up. This is the law. And the Quran is their law. So you would never ever hear any of these.
You ever read that in the Quran?
Okay. The bottom line is that none of these people would ever challenge the Sharia law. No one would ever challenge Muslim religions or traditions. They never would.
Or Mormon. Or
no, sure, they challenge Mormon every day. They challenge Mormon every day. If it's anything to deal with Christ, they challenge it. To them, Christ, he thinks any way they want him to think, Christ would accept gays. Yep, Christ accepts gays. Christ accepts everything.
Because upstairs to meet your maker, let him or her or whatever tell you how they
But feel. Until then, they want everybody else. Because, see, you can kick around Catholics. You can kick around Christians. But you can't kick around certain groups of Christianity. Like, you'll never see these gay activists go after the Black Baptist Church. Imagine these people going after Jeremiah Wright. Could you imagine that?
Well, they should if they're going after the Catholics.
But of course they're not going to go after them. There's no way in hell they'll go after them. Black people, they don't want to accept it. But, you know, again, like Bernard Goldberg said the other day, you can't hold blacks to the same standard as white people. You know, they're different. You know, that's who they are. You got to let them, you got to let them be. You know, they're not going to be evolved like, the rest of the people. White folks should know better. Blacks don't know better. They don't know better. They live by, it's a different set of standards for Negroes. You know, they're just they're not like us. They're different. They're savages.
You didn't say that. You didn't say any of that crap you just said.
You know that's what they think.
I don't know that that's what they think. I don't know.
Wait. If you think, now think about this. Think about what I just read in Gawker as a definition to people who don't agree with them. I mean, this is, let me get to the point. Let me get to the part that says, half-assed cowardly cop-out is what they says. Political dodge. Okay, no, it's not there. I got to get to the part that it says Proposition 8, challenges, positions. It's not a state-by-state issue. Yes. There is no reason other than ignorance and hatred that two men can get married in New York and not in North Carolina. Can you imagine calling a black person ignorant? Because if white folks are ignorant to gay marriage and 55% of the African American vote, 55% of African Americans vote against gay marriage, that would make Negroes ignorant, wouldn't it? Now go tell them. I dare you.
Why are people so afraid of black people? I mean, what is it that you think, that people think that black people, is there going to be an uprising? And even if there is an uprising, there's less black people than there are white people.
Views expressed by Mary Mary, why you bugging, can be directed to. No, I'm kidding.
I mean, I'm not, not that you should pin anybody against each other. That's not what I mean by that.
I know what it is that you're saying.
You know, I'm so
tired. And I agree with you.
You know, the 98.7 Kiss FM here, 95.5, whatever the radio station is here, 96.3, everybody can get on and talk about, whitey this, cracker this, cracker that, whitey that, but no, all these black people can talk about white people all they want. But don't let a white person say something about a black person, because then we got a problem. Get over yourself, man. You call me a cracker, I'm calling you the N-word.
Really?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, come on. Now you said, how you going to say, why is everybody afraid? Say it, damn it. Call them niggas right now.
No. Because, to me, all of it is. It's just stupid.
I know, but I'll call them that any day.
Well, you can, because you're black.
I can't. No, trust me, even I can't. They don't like me to call them that either.
Well, that's because they don't consider you black.
That's right. And when I say it, I mean it with all of its vitriol. I mean it with hatred.
Well, but all it means, the word nigga means ignorant person.
No, actually, that's not what it means to me.
No, but that's what the definition is in the dictionary.
I understand it.
According to Webster's dictionary.
Yeah, that means nothing to me. When I call anyone the word nigger, I mean savage black person.
But anybody can be a nigga.
No. Not for me. Not for me. I'm talking directly to African Americans. When I call you nigger, I mean it. And I mean it with all my heart and soul. But the rest of you I call Negroes. And I call you Negroes for your ideological views, the way that you view this country, your ignorance. You may be very, very smart, but your ideological differences that are completely unfounded, I call you Negroes. You savages, I call nigger.
Well, you're a self-hater.
No.
What do you call white people that are savages?
Savages.
How come you don't call them niggas?
Why can't they be niggas?
Why can't a white person be a nigger?
Yeah.
Because they're not.
Why not?
Why not?
Because I choose not to.
In your mind.
I thought
we were talking about my mind.
But anybody.
That's his mind.
That's right. What you choose to do is what you choose to do.
That's the mind of your world.
Exactly. I choose, and the reason why, let me give you a breakdown of this, and the reason why I say the word.
To ruffle people's feathers.
No, it's worse than that.
Goddamn Uncle Tom.
Most black people always say that, oh, we took that word back. That's our word now. I have proof that that's not true. Because me, a black man, when I say it to you, you know what I mean. I'm not pretending with the N-I-G-G-A-H. I'm not trying to hood it up for you or use it as a term of endearment. I mean it with venom.
Well, how can a word that means ignorant be a term of endearment anyway?
Well, that's what they think it means, and I'm telling them that if it's so true...
For those of you at home that are listening,
say again?
Mary's losing her mind over there trying to figure out the whole black culture thing.
Here's my point. If it's really true...
On the other hand...
If they really believe that it's true, that word no longer has a sting, as a black man saying to them, they know how they feel when they hear it. And they know they get that same feeling they get if a white person was saying it because they know that I mean it in a derogatory way. I will never take the stain of that word away from it. Because if you want to call yourself that, let's see whether or not you are true to what you say. You don't think that word is demeaning anymore? Let's prove it. And the truth is that 9 times out of 10, I'm right. The venom is still there. Even with
that's
me,
why I support the word.
Venom.
I say use it, run it into the ground. Use it 1,000 times a day, every other word. Because, I mean, the more you get angry at it, the more power you give that word.
That's exactly right. I want them to be offended by it.
Yeah.
We're not going to get rid of the word until you acknowledge that you're offended by it. Stop trying to, to take off its sting. You're offended by it, and I know you are.
Well, you're offended by it when you choose to be offended by it.
But, I mean, why do you got to drive down the Uncle Tom Drive?
What'd you say?
You have to drive down the Uncle Tom Avenue to get to making your point.
No, I don't believe so.
Yes, you do.
When black people hear me call them Negroes, I laugh. Because what if I say, it's like, hey, what's up, Negro? And they go, yo, man, why are you always calling us Negro? I said, because when you call yourself niggas, you're fine. When you call each other nigga, you're fine. You're okay with it. But you got a problem when I say the word Negro?
You know what? He does this in the street no matter where he is. I mean, what the listeners don't know, and even from your days of radio in New York and in Hartford and even syndicated, a lot of them assume that you just do this for radio, and it's like, that's you, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, no matter where you are.
Mary doesn't allow me to go anywhere with her anymore now because she can't stand when I use the word Negro.
I remember the first time you met most of my family,
mm-hmm.
when my bitch sister sicked her mean-ass dog on you. He walks up to a crowd of people and say, hello, Negroes.
Yes, that's the first thing I said to them.
They laughed. They laughed because they kind of knew who you were from the radio.
Mhm.
And they know how you get down politically, and they laugh. But it's like that's you no matter where you are. In the bar.
That's right. In the bar, no matter where it is, that's exactly who it is that I am. All right, let's take a break. When we get back, I want to talk about John Travolta. John Travolta, have you heard this story?
No.
Have you not?
Staying alive.
Yeah, exactly.
Staying alive.
Staying alive. Let's hope he does, because he's got some problems.
He's got some problems.
I hope. I'm hoping this doesn't happen to him.
Tonight there's gonna be a jailbreak somewhere in this town. See, me and the boys, we don't like it, so we're getting up and going down.
Stay right where you are, don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dan Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward, and the state of our union is strong.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours. A great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on the Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
All over my face. What is a boy to do?
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford 4 more years of America's best president.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
Okay, Reese on the Radio, and we're back 25 minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. It's May the 9th, 2012. Now, I'm sure many of you remember John Travolta. Anybody remember the movie that brought him back? Brought him back from the dead? Anybody?
The one with the boat?
No. Look who's talking. Boat.
You thought Look Who's Talking brought him back?
Yeah.
No.
The boat movie.
What movie with the boat?
Where his son and him, him and his wife get a divorce, and the soon to be stepfather is trying to like kill him or whatever.
No, that was
Boy in a Plastic Bubble.
No, that was his humble beginnings. Boy in a Plastic Bubble.
Wow.
Okay, no, it wasn't that movie. I know which film you're talking about. That came later, much later than his comeback film. His comeback film, ladies and gentlemen, was
Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction. He was nominated for an Academy Award. Interesting note about that movie. Samuel L. Jackson and John Travolta were both nominated for an Oscar for that film. John Travolta was nominated for Best Actor. But Samuel L. Jackson was nominated for Best Supporting Actor. Do you know why?
Why?
Because according to the amount of time that they had on screen, it turns out somewhere between 6 and 18 minutes, John Travolta was on the screen longer than Samuel L. Jackson. So since John Travolta's on longer, in essence, he gets Best Actor billing, and John Travolta gets Best Supporting Actor.
No, not John Travolta.
I mean, John Travolta gets Best Actor, and Samuel L. Jackson gets Best Supporting Actor, because John Travolta's on the screen longer than...
Did they win?
No, they both lost.
Well, nobody gets
anything. I've yet to see that damn movie, but go on.
I have to admit, though, that see, a lot of people were also outraged about that, because they thought Samuel L. Jackson was, of course, I mean, it's a memorable scene, you know, the Ezekiel... monologue that he does, and a lot of other scenes as well, especially at the end of the movie with Honey Bunny and Sweetie Baby or whatever, the two, Tim Roth and that woman, I forget the actress's name, it'll come to me, but that final scene inside the diner, they thought that most of his scenes were very memorable, where on the other hand, John Travolta's weren't, but, you know, a lot of people were outraged about that, but they both lost anyway, so it didn't matter. So John Travolta's in a bit of a pickle. And I brought this up because when it came up, of course it was completely reminiscent of my case. And you've not heard about this, JC, have you?
Yes, I have.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Oh, of course.
All right. So as the story goes...
Beverly.
Right. An attorney for John Travolta is fighting back after a second unidentified masseur has filed a sexual battery and assault suit against the actor. The second incident allegedly took place at an unnamed Atlanta resort in January of 2012, January 28th to be exact, according to the documents obtained by Radar.com. Both the first and the second accusers who have filed the lawsuits anonymously accused John Travolta of improper behavior during massage sessions. The plaintiffs are seeking $2 million each in damages. Travolta's attorney, Marty Singer, called the new allegation absurd and ridiculous. He says, quote, "This second anonymous claim is just as absurd and ridiculous as the first one." He said the attorney who filed the lawsuit on behalf of the second anonymous client, who does not want to disclose his name, although he's required to do so, was notified that his first client's claim were totally false and fabricated, since our client was not in L.A. when anonymous Doe Number One claims he interacted with John Travolta. Is this sounding familiar?
Yeah.
I wasn't in town. He wasn't even there. But yet he's allowed to file a lawsuit. Marty Singer added, "Our client will be fully vindicated in court of both these absurd and fictional claims." The first accuser claimed in a lawsuit filed last week that Travolta made unwanted sexual advances and touches during a January 16, 2012 massage appointment at the hotel in Beverly Hills, California. A rep for Travolta called the claim a complete fiction and fabrication and said that the actor wasn't in Los Angeles at the time. TMZ has posted a photo of the restaurant receipt on its website that purportedly placed Travolta in New York on January 16th, the day the first plaintiff claims that he was assaulted. Now, that is interesting.
Eerie. Oh, but then again, a man does have his own plane.
That is also true. He parks it right outside his house, I hear. Is that his
yep.
run? It comes right into his backyard, and then he pulls pulls the plane right to the house, which is interesting. Anyway, there's a bunch of accusers against Travolta who have similar accusations, according to the plaintiff's lawyer. He told People magazine, "Many have contacted me. I'm still vetting their stories. More defendants might come forward soon." Now, the harshness of all this is that nobody is making any effort, except for TMZ, for that matter, and I know why they're doing it, because they want to protect John Travolta. They like him. They don't want to see the guy go down. They don't, you know, they probably have a relationship with him. This is the reason why they went out and found a receipt for the guy. Now, I mean, if you can go that far as to find a receipt for a guy's whereabouts on a specific date, that says a lot about investigative reporting, because anybody can do that. But I find it extremely odd that TMZ would go to the point where they would protect John Travolta and go get a New York receipt, for that matter. Or maybe someone gave it to them. But here's my question. The first plaintiff states that John Travolta grabbed his genitalia and tried to get him to join in a threesome with a Hollywood starlet. Yes, he is.
And he had a witness there, too, supposedly.
Apparently, they're supposed to be a witness. Now, my question is, I mean, if there's a Hollywood starlet, that means that, I mean, this is a well-known person who is there.
Freakiosity.
I mean, not that I believe that the person was there, but I want to know who this person claims was the other woman there.
You know what kills the story for me?
What does?
Do they claim it was a woman or a man?
No, it's a woman, starlet. Yeah, it's a woman.
Well, these days, Hollywood, you can't tell. But what kills it for me is that he had a personal chef there. The witness was a personal chef cooking hamburgers.
Really?
Yeah.
And why do you find that odd? Because they were cooking hamburgers? I mean,
who in the hell brings in a personal chef to cook hamburgers?
I'm with you there. I didn't understand the significance. I didn't understand the point you were trying to make. I guess that's right. I mean, you bring in a guy to make, you know, souffle, a steak tartare. You know?
and they're the what is it? Was it the Beverly Hilton?
It was a Beverly Hills hotel. They don't say which hotel it was.
It wasn't the one that Whitney was in. This one was more like because he rented a bungalow.
Oh, yeah. No, the one in which he was in was the Beverly Hilton.
Right. I think it was the Beverly Palms.
Ooh. Wow, that's straight out of Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
Palm Hotel. That's where Axel Foley stayed.
Ahmed.
Yeah, no, that's what Axel Foley stayed, the Beverly Palm Hotel.
Let me ask you a question.
Please don't ask me why I know that.
Because you've only watched it 5,000 times.
Every time it's on, you can't. It's one of those channels when you're surfing on the cable box. You come across it, you stop.
Try this off for science. Ask me who's the villain in that movie. What's the villain's full name?
Hold on.
See if you can guess.
Victor?
You're close. What was his last name?
Maitland.
That's right. Victor Maitland. That's right. I know all of those details.
Bronson Pinchot, Mr. Weathersfield, Connecticut.
Is he really from Connecticut?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Huh? Yep, Bronson Pinchot.
Got his own reality show now. Anyway,
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't believe in the least. For me, personally, I don't believe that this took place. I'm giving John Travolta the benefit of the doubt. It seems too far-fetched. And if there's a receipt of the guy in New York, for crying out loud, at a restaurant, okay, this is a done deal. You know, knock it off as far as I'm concerned. This is a done deal. But what I hate about this is that all it takes is an accuser to make their claims, and it's all over the news. Everybody's talking about it. It's this thing about giving validity to stuff that clearly has no basis. I always say, before you report this story, especially a story where somebody's being accused of sexual assault and their reputations are on the line, you get all the facts and you say to yourself, look, I'm not going in here feet first with one side of someone's story and then put that quote-unquote, put that aura out there for people to look at John Travolta and say, oh, I always thought he was a little weird. Ain't he a Scientologist? He flies his plane right up to his house. Oh, doesn't his kid have autism? His son who died? You know, they start all this speculation about how weird he is. Then he becomes an outsider, and his name is completely tarnished because somebody just went out and said, oh, there's a lawsuit against John Travolta? Oh, print that.
And they're taking it back to his hip-swiveling action back in Staying Alive and Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah, exactly, which would again suggest that in 1975, was it?
I thought that came after Grease.
So 77, right, 77, 79, anywhere between that. Like, all of a sudden, that is the person that he is, a character that he played in a movie in Saturday Night Fever. Like, all of a sudden, he was a dancing, hip-swilling, you know, what's that got to do with
anything? A queen.
You know, it's like...
If you will.
Yeah, but knock it off. I mean, what's that got to do with the price of tea in China? You know, you're going to say that John Travolta's personality is going to be based on a character he played over 30 years ago? Like, what are you, a moron?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, how stupid is that? And how irresponsible of you is that? That's how I feel for him. And I'm saying, look, I've got no choice but to bring up the benefit of doubt. I'm looking at this story and I'm just going, two guys, now they're saying more people are coming forward. I've got one simple question. Where's the police in all this? Huh?
Because I don't know.
Anything,
or an incident report.
Yeah, or an incident report. If this guy is some menace to masseurs across the Beverly Hills section of California, get his ass off the street. Don't sue him. I mean, that's the bottom line. Call the cops.
West Hollywood.
You were sexually assaulted? You used the word assaulted. That is a crime. And one of you morons had the nerve to say, yeah, he wanted me to have a threesome with a Hollywood starlet. But I said, no, I'm from Iowa. We don't get down like that. I have morals. $2 million. Knock it off.
And he was there to squeeze a man's ass cheeks anyways. Are you kidding me?
Yes, exactly. That's
you're,
right.
You're a masseuse.
Nothing should have been off the table at that point.
You
and
rub Simply Hairy asses for a living.
Yes,
you rub it down.
Exactly. You're the one there to feel on John Travolta's rear end, and now he's the one who's being called a sexual assaulter. That is the funny part.
Let me ask you a quick question.
Go for it.
Do you understand the term baiting your gourd?
I don't know. That doesn't even sound... It sounds slightly familiar. I don't want to say that I know what it means, but I really don't. Baiting
when
your...
they try to catch a monkey with a hollow tree in Africa, they put something shiny in it and a nice little slit in the tree. They hollow it out and they leave a nice little slit. And what they do is they show the monkey something shiny and they drop it in the tree, and then a monkey goes and grabs it, holds on to it, and now he can't get his hand out of the slot. Because his fist is too big to come through.
Okay.
And he's too stupid to drop it, so they capture him, and then they end up eating him.
Oh, that's yuck.
I know.
That's no segue from John Travolta.
No, yeah, it is. But no. Tell me that you saw the story about the kid with the gumball machine.
Oh, I did. I saw you. You sent that to me earlier today, and I saw that. It's a couple of days ago. But look, of course... I've done it. I stuck my hand in a gumball machine.
Dude, his arm was in the machine for 2 to 3 hours. He was in pain. They had to take the machine apart, and all he had to do was let the damn gumball go, and his hand would come out.
How old was the kid?
Doesn't matter. Do you know how many monkeys?
No. See, how are you? Can you say that's not a significant part of the story?
Dude, you know how many monkey jokes are gonna come from that? He's a little black kid.
No, it's not. He's a little kid. Kids, look how many times you see the kid get his head stuck in the banister on the steps in the house. Kid slides his head through there. He looks at the banister. He looks at it. He goes, I wonder if I can stick my head in there. He sticks his head in there. He gets stuck. It happens all the time.
He was stealing a gumball.
The kid doesn't know the concept of paying for things. He only knows, I see, I want. You can't do that.
And all he had to do was let the damn gumball go, and he could have gotten his hand out.
Oh, look, come on. Give the kid a break.
They baited that kid's gourd.
The kid wanted the gumball. If for him, it would have been traumatic for him to let it go.
Somewhere in the eastern hills of Tennessee.
No,
I can hear, look at that little monkey.
Their kids have done worse. I'll put any amount of money in one of those redneck bigots have done it.
No way. Come on.
Are you saying that? Are you telling me that one of them hillbillies kids ain't done something silly?
I should have done something silly, but come on. I mean, the term baiting the gourd, I mean, that's such a huge racist term.
No, but I'm just so done with you right now.
It's such a huge racist term, and then this kid goes on and makes national news baiting a gourd.
I'm so done with you right now. So done.
I laughed for hours at that one.
I bet you did. Hey, do me a favor. Explain to me what this outro is that you put in the system.
Did you catch it yesterday?
No. Actually, I heard a piece of it, but I couldn't hear it, all of it. I want to hear it now, just so I know what it is that I'm playing. What was the...
Was it sound effects outro? No.
It's under...
It's under a bed.
Right.
A bumper.
Right. Yeah, I think you put bar and you put 40. There it is. I just want to hear it. Loving it. All right, we'll definitely play that from now on.
Well, I mean, it's only 16 seconds, though.
But that's fine. So we'll end the show with it, and that's fine. I love it. That's what we'll do.
Greatest bass line ever played by a white man.
That song's called Something About You, isn't it?
The Level 42. British pop.
Wow. I even got to get some more of that stuff.
80s. Yeah, oh, my God. I'm thinking about doing a 80s. But see, I want to do it for the white folks here, too. So I have to go get something out in the suburbs, probably Glastonbury.
I'm going to see if we can do a Friday night dance party for some 80s pop.
Oh, my God. Sometime I'm here, and I'm totally tripping on Crowded House, everything.
Yeah, that'd actually be cool to do. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come back, do the last break in the show. Stick around, it's Free Sun Radio.
Okay.
brand new menu item at McDonald's isn't risky. You know what's risky? Petting a stray pit bull or shaving your head just to see how it would look. That's risky. Naming your son Sue, super risky. Giving your friends your Facebook password, ultra risky. So trying a new menu item at McDonald's is about a zero on the old risker scale.
Try a snack size of our new Chicken McBites for free with purchase of any extra value meal from January 30th through February 5th.
New at McDonald's means no risk, delicious reward.
Participation may vary.
I tried a lot of cars, Ford Pinto, the Pontiac Fiero, but the Volt was the first car that truly got me excited and looking into the prospect of buying American again. Yeah, I've heard they're catching on fire in some cases, but I found that the fire really helps me get to my destination faster for fear of my life. Also, people really move out of the way when giant hunks of metal are hurtling towards them. Probably the one thing that sold me on the car. I'm really proud of what GM has been able to accomplish by working with the Obama administration. They've proven that in America you can make it in any business, as long as you have unlimited financial resources and the backing of the United States government. I don't know about you, but I think that's more than worth the couple $100,000 it costs taxpayers every time somebody buys one of these suckers. I'm sorry, do you smell something?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number is 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the radio. On the radio, we're back 46 minutes after the hour. Another 14 minutes till we get out of here. All right, JC, I don't know whether or not you saw this story or even if you were remotely interested. You do know that there were primaries going on in other states, right? Okay, maybe not.
Yeah.
You knew there were primaries
over the weekend, yeah.
Over the weekend, right? So,
yeah.
And yesterday, of course. So, apparently there's a guy by the name of Keith Judd. Okay? Now, He turned out to be in the West Virginia primary yesterday. Now, he was in the West Virginia Democratic primary running against incumbent Barack Obama.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I did. I got the story.
Can you believe this guy got 41% of the damn vote?
Uh-huh.
Is that... How in the hell did that happen?
And if I'm not mistaken, if I remember the story correctly, wasn't he like in prison or something?
Yes, he is. He is locked up in a Texas prison.
Okay.
Okay? And apparently he has been serving a 210-month sentence for extortion. According to the Charleston Gazette, Judge had paid the $2,500 filing fee and submitted a notarized certificate of announcement to appear on the West Virginia ballot. He is even qualified to have a delegate at the Democratic National Convention. Because he won at least 15% of the vote. However, no one stepped up to fill that role. Now, here it is. Now, hold on. Now, this would be one story, JC, and no one seems to be talking about this particular factor. It would be one thing to say, hey, maybe the West Virginia voters didn't know, and even though they don't like Barack Obama, they just voted for anybody that they saw who was running against it. Okay, I'm willing to agree with that, had this one factor not played a key role. This guy has been putting his name on the ballot, Keith Judd, since 1996.
Wow.
So, this is a guy in jail who manages to muster up $2,500. And gets his name on the ballot, can have an electorate, And he could have a delegate, pardon me, he could have a delegate. And he gets 41% of the vote of an incumbent president who's got no other challengers.
A sitting president, right.
That's sitting president.
That is nuts.
Now, everyone's saying that. Now, again, Democrats who can find race in everything are saying that West Virginians, they voted 41% for this guy, Keith Judd, because, you know, they're racist. No one even paid attention to the factor that Barack Obama has been attacking the coal industry like a bat out of hell, and West Virginia is a major coal mining state.
One of the last great ones.
Yeah, exactly. And they don't even understand that he's been destroyed. They refuse to even attempt to deal with that. Every liberal is saying, oh, you know, West Virginia, they didn't want to vote for him anyway. They really voted for Hillary Clinton. You even had one guy who said, I ain't got nothing against black people, but I would never vote a black president. You know, I played it on my show at WRKL. You know, it was a constant going on. But those people, look, they voted against him because they don't like his policies.
We're not talking West Virginia, though. We're talking about a state with bankrupt dentists.
Well, oh, that's funny. I just got what you said. That's just mean.
Unemployed dentist. Are you kidding me?
He said bankrupt dentists. That's just awful. I don't even know how to respond to that. Okay, so that was... and by the way, they're also reporting that Keith Judd taps into the war on coal, and that's what they're saying. Again, as I said, it was clearly the breakdown of that. Did you hear about these share things?
Share?
Share tweeting.
Oh, no. What?
Well,
tweeting?
Apparently she was on Twitter saying that she can't breathe the same air as Mitt Romney.
Right, yeah.
You know, this is another fine case of, you know, look, liberals, get off your high horse. You're a moron. You know, they're just morons. And then nobody, and you know that the news is going to report this woman because they think she's newsworthy. I think people just like making fun of them. That's why they show their...
Ever since she paraded her 72-year-old ass in that tight-ass outfit back in the 80s, if I could turn back time, she's done nothing since then. I mean, the last real hit she had came from the bagel boy when he dumped her.
Wait a minute, come on now. Do you believe in love after love, man? Come on, man. Come on, I had a half a tab of ecstasy at a Toronto nightclub with Molson Golden going down my throat, dancing to that song because I didn't know any better.
That's funny because I did a wedding. I did a wedding where the groom's mother came with a gay guy, her friend. His father was there as well.
Uh-huh.
And he comes sashaying up to the bar, up to the DJ booth,
uh-huh.
And he says, the mother of the groom would love to hear some Cher. And I jumped on YouTube. And I played the actual video.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, they were on the floor backflipping, splitting, twisting, turning. I had never seen anything like that. And it was just her and her friend and his two friends that came to the wedding. Can you believe in life after love? Okay, I got that.
They love that song, man. That song. It's scary. That's why I'm also glad that video cameras weren't so rampant, like everybody in the world didn't have. Because there would have been a video of me out there doing the Macarena at Webster Hall.
Wow. But I mean, as far as her making anything, saying anything controversial.
Well, I mean, right now, the reason why Cher is even relevant is because of her ship,
son. Her son.
Yeah, her daughter child.
Her queen.
Queen. Did you just call him a queen?
A queen, yeah.
That is brilliant.
You'll never hear that anywhere else on this planet.
You will never hear that anywhere else.
on my mom's soul, I made that one up, a queen.
I love it. Yo, back to forget
about. And coincidentally, I got to tell you, dude, today's show really kind of cheered me up.
Did it?
Oh, come on, dude. It's been 8 years today.
Oh, since your mom passed?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I still got to go through the Mother's Day thing.
I know, man. That's right. I remember it, man. And
a little month after you guys got here.
It was, and that's what I'm just saying. It's like, it's so interesting. Just after we got into Hartford, Connecticut, April 1st, 2004, your mom passed away. Wow. Just on
May 9th. On May 9th, yeah. But I'm good. I'm really good. I'm tired of folks calling me. And I mean, I just appreciate the support and everybody checking on me, especially family.
Yeah, but know what? They're keeping her alive. I think that's the reason why they called.
They're expecting me to flip out because I never really, grieved. But it's like they call it, are you okay? You okay? And I got to go through it all again on Sunday. That's why I kind of wish every year Mother's Day fell on May 9th.
Right.
So I didn't have to worry about it 2 days in a row. But I'm good, though. I'm good.
Yeah. I'm definitely glad to hear that. By the way, just a quick note. I don't know if anybody ever knows about this. Rush Limbaugh, who, again, as I always say, is my hero. He launched Rush Babes for America, a Facebook page. You should go check it out. It's actually pretty funny. But he put together this Facebook page to counter the National Organization of Women. It has now been reported that Rush Babes for America has more Facebook followers than the membership of the National Organization of Women, and they did it in 24 hours. Is that amazing?
What would really be funny?
What's that?
If Rush donated and got Barack to give his shout out and shout out his Facebook page.
Oh, that would be brilliant.
I was thinking about doing it because then I would have 15 million people that I could offer to advertisers.
You see, I'll tell you one thing, man. If Andrew Breitbart were here with us today, well, he's here with us in spirit, of course, but if Andrew Breitbart were alive today, he would take so much advantage of things like shout-outs and dinners with George Clooney. He would so take advantage of that stuff.
Yeah, well, I get a free pass this go-around.
They
got bigger issues than Breitbart next election 2016.
What?
Yeah, they got Reese to deal with. If they think you're bad now, oh my gosh! You let Barack get elected again.
Well, trust me. Look, as I said before, with Barack Obama in office, conservative blogs, conservative radio, alternative media, shows like ours, we've had some of the best years of our careers behind the election of Barack Obama because the controversy has been plentiful and the stories and the headlines, forget about it. I mean, our cup runneth over with material, and all thanks to this guy. If conservatives had their perfect conservative, we would be bashing people you didn't even know.
Local government.
We'd have no stories. So, Barack Obama was a windfall for conservatism in so many ways as far as the level of reporting and blogging and, alternative media. So, we have him to thank for that. But, it was at the cost of our country, but a lot of people profited. Andrew Breitbart, 2 years today, thanks to the likes of Barack Obama. So, not that we want another 4 years, because trust me, we do not. We can deal with 4 years. That was enough, but we need to end it now. Let's get back to business as usual. The black experiment, as I always say, is over. Let's get back to what's really, really important. That's the best way that I can put it. That's our show for today, as usual. Hold on. You got to play my music. Play my music. Play it low so I can hear it.
I like it. Since now you're kind of looking for it.
I'll find it. I'll know what it is. I'll keep it in front of me from now on. Here it is. I got it. That's our show for today, folks. We'll be back tomorrow. for Jay's Mary, why you bugging? I'm Reese on the radio. We love you. And we'll see you tomorrow.